We hardly preach from that short book. We have a hard time finding it. It's after Judges, before 1 Samuel. But there are a lot of biblical principles that are displayed in that short little book, Ruth. A lot of the Old Testament laws, the way things were to be done in families, in worship, in care for one another, confidence in God, trust in God. All of those things are displayed in this short little book. It's well worth reading. It's perceived perhaps as a love story, and thank God it is that. Young people, it's a good one to read because it shows how God will take care of you. It shows how God will provide for you. Amen. And how the Lord can change circumstances that might seem impossible. But God steps in. Amen. Thank the Lord. We put our trust in Him. Verse 14 of chapter 4 is where I want to turn your attention for a short while here today. And just a phrase from that verse. Ruth 4 and verse 14. This is a comforting statement that the women from the city in Bethlehem are making to Naomi, because Naomi has been subjected to a lot of heartache. She's gone through some very, very difficult times. And now comfort is offered to her because of the hand of God that has been displayed. Let's read together Ruth 4 and 14. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And the phrase I want to use is, his name may be famous. And we'll just call this famous name. You know some famous names? Corporate names? Sports figures? Let's see, what else? brands, various tags, names that are well known and famous. But some of them are gone. I was just thinking, TWA, that's gone. Northwest, that's gone. And those are airlines that were merged with others that have existed or trying to exist today. But some that were very strong, famous names, strong corporations, gone. In the sports world, you may be seated. In the sports world, there's a champion from high school sports, NCAA, professional sports. But we might be a little hard-pressed to even name who was the champion last year. Famous names just come and go very quickly. But there is one famous name. Praise God. Amen. One famous name. Thank God that we can hold on to, that we can believe and we can know is never going to fade, never going to become unknown. Amen. It is going to be praised throughout eternity. Praise God. Now, let me just share for a few moments the book of Ruth and the story of Naomi and how it turns out. I won't go into all of the detail. We don't have time for that today. But there is a tremendous amount of knowledge from Old Testament principle and the provision of God in the book of Ruth. Naomi left Bethlehem for Moab with her family because of famine. Elimelech led his family away from Bethlehem, Judah, down into the land of the Moabites, and that would seem to be a very much a step of reversal. Walking away from the place where God is going to bless to a land where there was opposition to what they believed and what they trusted in and what they counted to be truth. But it was okay for a short time until Elimelech, her husband, died, left her a widow with her two sons. Her two sons were old enough to marry, and so instead of returning to Bethlehem, they married Moabites. And 10 years of relative safety went by. And then again, disaster. They had escaped the famine and seemingly the hand of death, but now, along with Elimelech passing away, her two sons died. We don't know the cause. We don't know the reason. We don't know if there was sickness or what accident on the farm or on the job, whatever might have happened. We don't know. But now she is left without a family except her two daughters-in-law. And they are from the land of Moab. Yes. Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem, to return to Judah. Her daughters-in-law wanted to go as well. She told them, no, you need to remain. You need to stay here in your homeland. However, one of them, Ruth, the Bible says, was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi. Steadfastly minded. She was not going to be discouraged. She was not going to be turned back. She was not going to be left behind. And her famous statement from Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, which we recognize to be in a vow or a commitment and something that is famous for its sayings. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. That's quite a statement, quite a commitment that this young lady was willing to make, a widow herself, speaking to her mother-in-law, who was a widow. And so they both returned to Bethlehem. And as it turns out, Ruth is in no way a liability. She becomes a great asset. She works gathering the leftovers of the harvest, and that again is a part of the law of God. Boaz, the landowner, saw her. He recognized this young woman, a Moabite, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. He recognized her to be a virtuous woman. Now, obviously, there was something about her appearance. Not only her appearance, but her attitude. And certainly her actions. All three added up to the fact that this is a virtuous woman. And Boaz, an older man, not a contemporary of hers, an older man, would look and recognize that woman with her attitude, with her actions, with her appearance, carries all the aspects of virtue that perhaps is missing in others of her age bracket, of her age group. And he definitely took notice of her. And again, I've got to cut out details. The kinsman redeemer was the one who would step forward and redeem the land of the widow so that that property would stay in the family. It would not be swallowed up by some great landowner who could afford it, but they allowed for the nearest kinsman with the right to go and redeem the land. And if this involved marrying the widow, then they were willing to step forward and do that as well. Boaz followed all of the protocol and redeemed the land and married Ruth, the widow. They had a son named Obed, the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And you see then how it begins to unfold of how incredible this little story became in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And the power that was beginning to be displayed there. The comfort to Naomi, as I mentioned in the text, also in verse 15. They're reminding her, the Lord didn't leave you. He provided a kinsman for you who will be a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. Your daughter-in-law loves you. Thank God the Lord knows how to do amazing things. He knows how to make a bad situation turn out right. He knows how to turn things around. He knows how to make things that are poor and bad and negative turn out to be good and positive and well done. Thank God that's who we're serving today. That's who we're praising today. That's who we're calling upon today. And when you put your trust in Him, when you surrender your heart and life unto Him, thank God for the changes that He can make in your life, the changes that He can make in your situation. Glory to God. He took care of the characters involved in this story. And Ruth, a Moabite, became involved in the lineage of Christ. The heartache of Naomi was healed. And Boaz became well known and his name famous. A beautiful story. And it brings us to another redeemer. We think about the work of salvation, to redeem, to ransom, to reconcile, to regenerate, to revive. All of these terms would bring a different aspect of the work that the Lord would desire to do in our lives. And thank God, it's a complete work. No wonder the apostle said, you are complete in Him. He is the head of all principality and power. Thank God that we can know His goodness to minister in our lives and provide in a wonderful way. That word reconcile is not just ministered or applying to applicable to situations where there are as offense or hurt feelings or a marriage situation that needs to be reconciled. I'm glad the Lord is able to do every aspect of that work in our lives. He will make reconciliation for the sins of the people, the Word of God says. He will make reconciliation. Thank God. You see, sin is a serious problem. Sin is a serious problem that affects everyone. There is no one who can stand above sin and say, I am perfect. There's nothing that touches me as far as sin is concerned. Everyone has mistakes. Everyone has faults. Everyone has a problem. Amen. But oh, thank God the Lord is able to step into those situations and make a difference in people's lives who surrender themselves to Him and come to Him with a confession and repentance and desire, oh God, I need to be reconciled to You. God, I need to be brought back into Your presence. Amen. Thank God that He came to reconcile the people from sin. He reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, the Bible says. God was in Christ. Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Thank God there is both a word of reconciliation and a ministry of reconciliation, and they both work. It's not just words. It's not just ideas. It's not just something we talk about when we come to church or when we read the Word of God. Thank the Lord. I can look out here today and recognize the ministry of reconciliation has done a great work. The work of reconciliation has been accomplished, and the Lord has brought about tremendous results. Thank God we don't have to be hurting from the effects of sin any longer. We can allow His name to remit our sins, His blood to cover our sins, thank God, and to wash us from all sin and transgression. God reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Amen. The angel told Joseph, call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sin. The work and the power of the name of Jesus is amazing. He will save His people from their sins. The disciples discovered the power of the name of Jesus when they went forth in Luke chapter 10. They returned to the Lord rejoicing. They were thrilled with the healing. They were thrilled with the work of God. And they came rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us by Your name. Thank God we can find that kind of power in the Lord. There doesn't have to be depression. There doesn't have to be oppression. There doesn't have to be despair. There doesn't have to be discouragement. Even the devils are subject through the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful. His name is famous. His name is great. His name is powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Many miracles, many healings, many instances of deliverance and resurrections. And the name of Jesus became more and more famous. He told his disciples to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And in the apostolic era, that's exactly what happened. Repentance and remission of sins did begin in Jerusalem, and healing continued in the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 3, there's a man who was lame in his ankle bones for over 40 years. 40 years plus, and he had never walked a step in his life. He sat at the gate, beautiful, of the temple and begged alms there, begged for charity and for those who would give him a few coins. The irony of the situation is seen there. The gate with its free movement. The name, beautiful. And yet his experience and his situation, far from beautiful. Far from being free to move and be in the place of the presence of God. And there he sat when Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Thank God for people who believe in prayer. Thank God for people who hold on to God in prayer. Thank God for people who believe that the Lord will minister through prayer. Peter and John were on their way to a place of prayer, and they saw that lame man. Maybe they had noticed him years before. Maybe they had seen him time and time again. Maybe they even dropped a coin in his basket. But this time, Peter stopped and said, "Look on us." And he looked, expecting to receive. That's a good key. You don't come to the house of God just all slumped down and all feeling like, "Oh, this is a waste of time. Nothing's going to happen here. There isn't going to be any blessing. There isn't going to be any benefit." No, you come expecting to receive. You come expecting to get in touch with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You come expecting to get a healed touch from God. You come expecting to have your needs ministered to, because that's what he will do. Amen. He looked at them expecting to receive. Peter and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Praise God. Never heard those words before. Never made the connection of the name of Jesus with rising up and walking. Oh, no doubt he prayed. No doubt he called upon Jehovah. No doubt he wished he could walk into the temple. No doubt he wished that he could be a part of the beautiful worship that he observed. People going into the temple, people coming back out. All of those situations, I wish I could be a part of it. But now, because of the name of Jesus, and because of people who believe in prayer, he stands up, he leaps, and he walks, and he praises God. What an incredible change that came to him, because a name above every name, hallelujah, a name that was made famous, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. It continued to be more so. And then that, praise God. Now, not all were thrilled with it. Not all were excited about it. Saul of Tarsus was an influential man, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee, a Benjamite, all of those things that were in his resume that would sound so good. He was not thrilled at all with the name of Jesus. He planned threatenings and slaughter for the early church. In his words, he said, "I thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." And that's exactly what he did. Many things contrary, not in complicitly, not fitting in, not going along with, not rejoicing, no, contrary to the name of Jesus. And then we know he met Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. He asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Glory to God. An incredible change came to that man at that point. What a difference was made in his life at that point. Saul became the Apostle Paul, baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with his Spirit. He immediately began to preach in the name of Jesus. That caused great concern both among the church and among those that he had been a part of before in opposition to the early church. In fact, it got so bad that Paul became a basket case. They lowered him in a basket over the wall so that he could escape those who were trying to pursue him and subdue him. But he became a powerful force for the name of Jesus. Amen. Paul and others were commended as men who risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the name of Jesus famous in many hearts. Preach and teach the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end. Thank God for ones who are faithful and know the power of the name of Jesus. Glory to God. The name of Jesus is famous for one thing, mainly salvation. Oh, it does so many other things. We believe for healing up here a few minutes ago. And thank God we've seen evidence of healing again and again and again. That's why we don't just go through a ritual. That's why we don't just go through the motions. That's why we anoint with oil in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says the Lord will raise you up. Thank God resurrection power is released when we call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe healing is going to continue to come forth by the name of Jesus. Peter preached about Jesus. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He further declared in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God he began it with salvation. He ended it with be saved. Thank God for the power of the name of Jesus for salvation. Amen. If it's famous for nothing else, thank God it's famous for salvation. It's famous for changing people. It's famous for bringing people to a place of repentance and their sins being washed away. It's famous for the power of the Holy Ghost to come into hearts and lives and bring power to overcome and live a new life. Oh, thank God his name is famous. Glory to God. Now in Ephesians, and I'll just cover quickly some of the writings that the apostle shared with the churches. In Ephesians 1 and 21, he said, it's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And then he went on to say, not only in this world, this is the world we're in. This is the world we know. This is the world we're a part of. This is the world that has the names. But the apostle is assuring us it's not only in what you know, but it's also in that which is to come, that which we don't know. His name is still above all that's there. Ephesians 3 and 15, he said the whole family in heaven and earth is named by that name, Jesus. To the Philippians, he wrote in chapter 2 and verse 9, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In verse 10, he said, every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. In verse 11, he said, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Thank God that we know his name is powerful for salvation. He went on in Philippians 3 and 20. He said, we look to heaven for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Verse 21, he's going to change our vile body to be like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things to the working of his power. That's who I want to put my trust in. That's who I want to walk with. That's who I want to worship. That's who I want to have a famous name applied to my heart and to my life. Thank God. Amen. We make his name famous. I don't want to drag his name through the mud. I don't want to have people cast aspersions on the name of Jesus because of my lifestyle. I don't want to have smudges on the name of the Lord because of the way I act and the way I look and so on. No, I want to please him. Amen. His name brought me salvation. His name brought me healing. Praise God. His name brought me power. His name brought me strength. Amen. His name helps me to be ready for his coming. Glory to God. And I'm going to live for him and walk with him. Overcoming sin, obeying his word, praise God, denying the flesh, amen, and casting out the devil, praise God. I'm going to walk with him in Jesus' name. Now, there were some in the scripture who tried to piggyback, as it were, with, you know, with that experience. They saw the power, they saw how powerful and how wonderful it was as far as demonic influence being dashed and so on. And so these seven guys, their dad was named Sceva. And they thought they were going to get in on it too. And they came to a demon-possessed man and said, "We adjure you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Come out." Well, all seven of them got beat up. You don't play around with demonic power. You don't just think it's a joke. You don't just mess around with that which is extremely powerful and can knock you around like a little doll. No, you've got to have the name. You got to have his spirit. You got to have that power. Praise God. Amen. Not just know about Jesus, but to know Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me now? Yeah, there's lots of famous names. Lots of famous brands. Lots of big corporations. Lots of sports figures. Lots of names that we could perhaps have run through our minds today. But above all, I want the power of the name of Jesus. Above all, I want that famous name to be applied to my life. Praise God. Just think of that now. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the leading scorer in the NBA. We're talking about the one who threw for the most touchdowns in NFL. No. Even with the Olympics coming up, we're not talking about the record holder returning to beat his own record or her own record. No, we're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the Almighty God, the ruler of the universe. And he says, "You can be called by my name. I will fill you with my spirit. I will touch you and heal you. I will minister to your every need. I will provide for your mind, for your heart, for your soul, and for your body. Just come to me. Come to me." Praise God. Amen. And oh, thank the Lord. We have the scriptures to look at. We have the accounts in the Gospels. We have the story of the book of Acts, the book of Acts church that changed in such an incredible way. And it wasn't just one time that a lame man was healed. There was another time in a town called Lystra, a man in the same circumstances, a man with the same need. God healed him and caused him to rise up and walk when he had never taken a step before. Impossible? That's what God does. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But our situations, our circumstances, our places in life oftentimes produce tears, produce heartache, disappointment, where we just feel like, sometimes, what's the use? And oh, I'm thankful I can look to the one whose name is far greater than any other. I can call upon him, and he'll come and minister to me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many times have we fulfilled that verse, the promise from the Word of God? It happens again and again. because the one who wrote it has a name that is famous for fulfilling his promises. His name is famous for making his word come to pass. His name is famous for ministering to your individual needs, everyone here today. Glory to God. Can we close our eyes for just a moment here now as we stand in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Close your eyes and just think about what the Lord can do for you, what you need him to do for you, what you would like for him to do for you. Think about the one whose name is famous for raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, cleansing lepers, doing all the things that were needed for mankind, and he's still able to do that for us today. Hallelujah. 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 Now I'd like for you to step out and just come to a place of prayer here today. Bring that need to the Lord. Bring that need that you're feeling in your heart right now. Bring that need and come to his presence. Lay it at his feet. Thank God.